Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, tonight we're going to, we're going to remember as we focus on something God remembers or something God causes us to remember. There's a big difference between God's remembering and our remembering. If we remember something, it's because we've normally forgotten it and then remembered it. But when the Bible speaks of God remembering, it's not because he forgot. In fact, when the Bible says he remembered, it's really saying God is now ready to do something. Check it out. Go to your Bible, find those places where it says, and God remembered, and see what happens next. For example, we read in Exodus chapter 2 that God heard the groaning of the Israelites in Egypt, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. That doesn't mean that somehow God had forgotten about Abraham or forgotten that his people were now down in Egypt. It means that God was ready. The time was right for him to do something about their situation. And when God causes us to remember, he's also doing something. He's causing us to believe and to receive by faith the gracious gifts that he's about ready to pour out on us. Now that's very important as we think about God remembering and God causing us to remember. Remembering is always connected to action. Now we heard these words in the psalm that was read tonight. God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. If you were here for Ash Wednesday services last Wednesday and received those ashes on your forehead, you heard words that reflect what the psalmist said. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We don't always remember that we're dust. And even when we do, well, we really can't do anything about it. But God remembers, and God does something about it. Something wonderful. The psalmist says that because we are dust, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. God knows exactly what we're made of because he made us. He literally handcrafted us. God created everything else by the power of his word by simply saying, "Let there be," but the creation of the man and the woman, the pinnacle of his creation, was different. The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And when he created the woman, he used the man's rib that was also made from dust. And being made from dust wasn't a bad thing. Because we read, God saw everything he had made and it was very good. And though sin has drastically changed everything, that doesn't mean God does poor work. In fact, Psalm 139 declares that we are still fearfully and wonderfully made. Dust is not bad. Now, we don't normally associate the words wonderfully made with the word dust. But Andrew Clemens of McGregor, Iowa did. We all remember Andrew Clemens, right? Of McGregor, Iowa. Probably not. He died quite young, and he also died a long, long time ago. But this is what Andrew Clemens did. It's not exactly dust, but it's very close to dust. It's actually sand. His works of art are so wonderfully detailed that they look like a picture painted on the outside of a bottle. And those bottles range from 12-inch to, 6 inches to even smaller. They're all made of differently colored grains of sand placed one at a time through the neck of the bottle. Here's a little bigger picture of what some of it looks like. That's dust, or that's sand, one at a time placed inside of the bottle to make these incredible works of art. Now, I can't imagine how difficult that would be. I would really get bored after a while. One of his pieces of art took over 2 years to make. Faces, designs, almost as clear as a photograph. Signatures in many of the bottles. If you look actually on the bottom of this one down here, on the very corner, you can't read it, but it says, June 1, 1888. Some of these bottles of sand have been appraised at up to $50,000. Now, that's not a bottle you'd want to shake or drop. He was actually featured on Antiques Roadshow a while back. Well, like those bottles of sand, God has arranged and highly appraised you and me. But we read in the Bible that many times, even God's people forgot the one who valued them. They rejected the Lord and turned to other gods, idols that they formed with their own heart, with their own hands. And they thought that they could exchange the true God for gods that they could control. But no matter what they did, they couldn't escape the fact that they were dust. Dust that, though wonderfully made, would go back to dust. The truth remains, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But even to those rebellious people, God remembered that they are dust, and so he shows compassion. I don't know, what about us? Do we tend to forget that we're dust? Do we tend to forget we're, you know, maybe one breath away from heaven? Do we remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by the God who made us? Do we praise him for it? Or do we think we're pretty wonderful on our own, without God? I guess it probably depends on what day it is. In Galatians 6, we read, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." You know, we say we believe what God says, and yet all too often we live as if everything depends on us. I sometimes wonder if people watched me, if they would say that I really trust in God. What would people think of my trust in God if they saw me waking up in the middle of the night because of something I did or didn't do? Or scurrying here and there to get this or that thing done? See, I often forget that this world will still keep turning whether I'm here or not. See, we can deceive ourselves of our self-importance. But at some point, this body, this dust, will return to dust. But even in death, perhaps especially at that time of greatest need, when even the strongest person can do nothing at all, God remembers that you and I are dust, so that he shows compassion. You know, it's true, God knows we're simply dust. But you know what? We're his dust. His people. His children. And that's why God deals with us with compassion. As a good father deals with his beloved child. God remembers that we're dust, fragile dust at that. And that's why he didn't shake us up and pour us out and start all over again after our first parents brought sin into the world. Here's how he dealt with his fragile people after the fall. First, he moved his people to realize their true nature, that they were dust and helpless apart from that, from him. And knowing that, here's how some of his people responded. Abraham prayed to God. As Abraham prayed to God, he remembered what he was, and he says, "I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes." And when the nations of Israel broke faith with God and were defeated in battle, they put dust on their heads. And when his friends saw Job's grief and trouble, they tore their robes and they sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. See, all of that dust reminded them of their temporary and fragile condition, of the fact that they really could not do anything were it not for the Lord. So God remembers that people are dust, and he also makes his people remember that truth as well. He does that so that when trouble comes upon us, when we recognize our need, when we remember that we are dust, God can turn our heart back to him. He causes us to repent, to turn and look to him for help in our time of trouble. And he has compassion. And he doesn't have compassion because we've earned it somehow with our deep repentance or our sorrow. No, God has compassion because that's who he is. He is the God who raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. When we realize there's nothing more we can do, we're right where God wants us to be. Because then God can raise us up, raise our eyes to see that because he is compassionate, we have hope. And we see God's compassion best in Jesus. We read in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And in Matthew 14, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Time and time again, Jesus remembered the hopeless condition of the people, and he felt it down to the pit of his stomach, which is literally what that word compassion means in Greek. And he did something about it. And it was his compassion that also caused him to act, to embrace suffering, cross, and death for you and me. And God continues to have compassion because that's who he is. He remembers that we're dust and causes us to remember we are dust. In fact, the life of faith is a constant remembering that that's exactly what we are, and that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, that we have the desire to do good but cannot carry it out. This remembering is repentance. It's turning away from ourselves and turning back toward God, fixing our eyes firmly on the one who became dust, who became flesh for us, so that he might answer our cry, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" with the words, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ's death and resurrection, above all things, tells us that God is compassionate to us because we are nothing but dust and ashes. And even though we're sinful, Christ's death and resurrection assures us that we are still wonderful and valuable, the crown of God's creation. God remembered and sent his Son to give us life. And now as his people, he says that we are new, a new creation. We're still dust creatures like Adam, but in another way, we're heavenly creatures like Jesus. So tonight, remember dust. You are dust. And unless Jesus returns before that day to dust, you shall return. But because of Christ, the dust God used to create Adam remains very good. In fact, perfect and perfectly fashioned for heaven. Amen.